Richard, we're in Mayfair. And as you just pointed out, I mean, I like to go for Mayfair when I play Monopoly. And my family's very competitive about this whole thing. And we've just had a seriously lovely lunch. And I thought that it was really amazing value. £27 plus, I think, a £2 charge. So it's under £30, including the wine.
Including your wine,
yeah. How did you manage to do that?
Well, it's something I've done from the very beginning in this restaurant over 3 years ago. And it's something I wanted to do because I wanted the restaurant to be full of some foodies as well as customers from Mayfair. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it'd be just another restaurant full of pinstripes and gentlemen from hedge funds and equity companies. Mm-hmm. And I just like the whole idea of a nice mixture of people in the restaurant. And that's my nature and that's what the way I am. And, you know, I'm a bit forthright overall. So kind of a reflection, you know, the restaurant should be a reflection, really, of you know, who I am and what I want and the people that are in it. So therefore, you know, it's quite a British restaurant with a smattering of Irish around it. You know what I mean? And that's what I want. Otherwise, you'd have an international Mayfair restaurant. Blah, blah, boring, boring, boring. It has to have a little edge to it, a little serious edge. And I think we've achieved that here. Sometimes I thought, you know, I was stark raving mad to have opened it when we did, and the Lehman's had just gone bust 3 months before we opened and the whole world was falling apart. And frankly, everyone did think I was kind of crazy. If you look at the Telegraph review, he loved the rest of them. He said, I really think you should have went and played a game of poker. And that's how bad things were at the time. But we prospered and done very well, and I'm delighted to where we are today.
You've come from what most would consider very, very down-to-earth roots.
Yeah.
You've come from near Dublin. You're a farmer's son. How does that translate into what you're offering here?
I think the farmer's son on the farm, working on a farm, you know what I mean, is always quite interesting. I mean, I don't want to tell you kind of, it's not the usual Irish sob story. You know what I mean? I was quite, you know, we never suffered from food poverty in my house. we ate like kings, you know what I mean? And it's as simple as that. My mother was an amazing baker, so there was always great breads and currant cakes and sponges and trifles. There was everything always going on, you know. Buttermilk always, you know, it was quite a foodie little place. Shooting rabbits, eating eels, wild salmon, you know what I mean? The usual kind of country thing that boys would have and girls would have done at that time. I think, you know, the earthiness of where I came from kind of, I would like to think we try to keep a you know, we want a sophisticated environment. You know, we want a very nice environment where people feel real pleasure and really comfortable. But I want people to feel there's a warmth and happiness about the restaurant. Not that it's a rarity and it's pretentious and you feel uncomfortable. Mm. I want people to feel comfortable. Mm. You know, it's not my farmhouse. It's not my rural Ireland Mayfair. It's not that. But I want people to feel, you know, this is a really unpretentious place and everyone is really nice. And I had a great lunch and I might come back. I mean, what more can you ask for?
You've got quite a masculine feel to the restaurant with a lot of hunting sort of in there. So I do feel like you've sort of almost brought part of the countryside into Mayfair. And I noticed that you've got lots of references to the local market on your menu. Is that something that you feel that you are bringing that into this part of London?
Well, I think I have strong views on the food and politics of food. And I like the whole idea of us being able to support small suppliers. Mm-hmm. And, I just like the whole idea of people spending money here and going back directly back to the farms where the food came from. Mm-hmm. And instead of just feeding this global food basket of nothingness and mono taste, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Everything we support here, you know, from the butter from Lincolnshire Poacher, ship to mill, we make the bread here every day. You know, bees meal we use from Scotland, you know what I mean? The last meal in Scotland, I mean, really very special stuff. And I just like to feel that, you know, great butter, country butter, great bread. And you know, it's just, you feel, hey, great, wonderful. You know what I mean? Yes, it's not cheap to cook anymore. You know, good food is expensive. So the whole idea of, you know, holding our menu at that price has been hard work, frankly, and we've kept it there. And hence, you look in there today, and it's a full restaurant. Absolutely. And it's a real, and the private room is full here. And, you know, I'm really happy. I'm just happy. I think sometimes, you know, you have to give to receive. And, you know, I just think maybe it's that country upbringing that allows you to do that. And I am, you know, the chairman, chief executive of my business as well. So I can make some decisions, bad or good, I can make those decisions.
You're very hands-on, Richard. I'm going to ask you this. You've got a reputation on both sides of the kitchen as being a perfectionist. You've also got a reputation as being formidable at wanting it to be absolutely right in the kitchen. Do you find that that is something that you can bring to both sides of what you do?
I think there's a difference to being horrible and tough. You know what I mean? I'm tough. Like, on our farmyard when I was a child, I remember we got a very large grain delivery. And the chap who delivered the grain managed to spill half of it in the not a lot of it, you know what I mean? And my father said to me, "Are you going to sweep that up?" And no, that's not my job to sweep things up. But my father said to him, "Here's the brush, here's the shovel, and you put it back where I've taken the brush and shovel from." It's a kind of a very kind of almost tough, straightforward scenario. If you do a job, let's do it right. Yes. And I like that attitude. And you know what I mean? I've gone past being, you know, in my more ambitious 20s and 30s, I might have been a tough cookie to work for. I think I've mellowed out slightly. And then don't take it from a bit of TV, I'll be honest with you, where they cut it all down to you just being funny or a bit mean to somebody. The fact is, you know what I mean, I really, really enjoy working with the team. I talk to them on a regular basis. I taste everything all of the time. I get very personally very upset when things are not right. I get very personally upset when customers have a bad time. I've been a people business. Of course customers are going to have a bad time. Something's going to go wrong. The manager is going to come in with a hangover. The chef is not going to turn up in one section in the morning. Something is going to go wrong. Something I haven't seen is going to happen for a customer. And my attitude now is when it goes wrong, try to put it right as quickly as possible. That's my attitude now. And therefore, good constant management, front and back of house, I think is very important. I've had my fair share of bad restaurant managers, believe it or not.
Richard, I'm going to come down to one particular dish that I want to ask you about. Now, you know that my thing is to be a goddess on a budget.
Yeah.
So, when I'm at home and I want to reproduce something that's absolutely amazing, like a souffle, what are your tips? Because it's something that you can produce something absolutely amazing in the home. But it isn't expensive, is it?
No.
But it's so terrifying. Right. Have you got some tips for me?
A really good tip is when you make your rhubarb souffle, get the acidity right and the sugar content right into that kind of the puree you make. And really important, then you can sieve in a small bit of like an arrowroot just into it to hold it all together. Okay, just a tiny little bit, just a little half a tablespoon.
I've never heard of that, but that's good.
Little,
okay.
Little half a tablespoon.
Good secret, yeah.
Yeah. And then what is really important is your whipping, your whisk must be spotless and grease-free. Your bowl that you whip the egg whites in must be absolutely spotless and grease-free. And your eggs, if at all possible, your egg whites, have them nice and old. The older the egg white, the better the souffle.
So that's not a myth. That's the truth.
For me, we do it here, and I hear all these myths, and I don't want anyone to put it to a test, but for me, it works. You know what I mean? It works brilliantly. And you get a really nice, solid-y style souffle. Not all just bubbly and lice and nothing. You know, there's a bit of real texture in it. And it works really well for us, I'll be honest with you. It really does. And it's a wonderful thing. We do the apple crumble souffle, the rhubarb souffle. And we're always playing around with it, you know what I mean? I had bananas on last week baked in parchment paper with a little squeeze of passion fruit. Just passion fruit cut in half, squeeze into the banana, roll them in like in parchment paper, stick them into the oven, 15 minutes, till they bubble up and cook in a little air pocket, and papillote it's called. And then a squeeze of lime juice in on it going out to the customer. We broke it at the table. Do you know, I thought it was almost like childlike, the dessert. But it brought so much happiness. So therefore, you don't need to be a pastry chef. You know what I mean? Stick to the things you like and just enjoy cooking them. Now, bananas are very cheap. Apples you can get hold of really, really easily. You can go to the supermarket and get a bit of puff pastry these days. You know what I mean? Really, a decent supermarket. Roll it out ever so slightly. Slice some apples on the top. Sprinkling up really good sugar. You know what I mean? Natural kind of just brown, unrefined sugar. And just put it into a hot oven and you have a beautiful apple tart. You know, you don't need to be a genius anymore. The knowledge out there is just so incredible. Go onto your BBC sites. Go onto your Channel 4 sites. The amount of food knowledge out there is quite incredible.
Actually, I was going to suggest to people that they don't go on the sites. I was going to suggest that they have a look at your new cookery book.
Yeah.
You've got... Sorry, I'm knocking plates over here.
Yeah, the...
This one's new, Richard.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the it's... Well, it's a Channel 4 production, I have to say to you. And it was the cookery school, which was an afternoon programme I got involved in. And I have to say to you, it seemed really hard work, you know, because all of a sudden you had to cook a recipe in kind of 10, 15 minutes. So you had to be no casseroles, to be no that. So it was quite a disciplined thing. And I remember sitting down every week and looking at the next week's recipes. And I thought, what could you do if you were lacking the confidence and the real skills to be able to cook? And we came out with a lot of recipes, which works really well. You know what I mean? Duck breast with apples and calvados and black pudding. We'll leave out the calvados and... Duck with black pudding is lovely, you know. The pork chops with the apple and grain mustard, you know what I mean, called cannon. So there's lots of simple things, you know, and lots of good technique as well.
That's what I was going to say. I really noticed the fact that there were lots of instructions there. It's called Cookery School.
It's called Cookery School, yeah. And it's a, you know what I mean, but yeah, it's a beautifully produced book by Penguin. I have to say to you, it really is a beautifully produced book. And it was a bit of a labour of love. But my own book, The Clatter of Forks and Spoons.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that's Fort Estate, and they do everything so beautifully.
They do, don't they? I'm going to come back to you and talk to you a bit more about The Clatter of Forks and Spoons. Yeah. Richard, thank you very much for talking to me. It's been an absolute pleasure to eat in your restaurant. So I have to say thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much.